Treasure Grove.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your time.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm this week's host, Denise Tennell, and I'm joined by my sister Janice, who is my co-host tonight. Janice normally hosts the show, but she lost her voice a little earlier this week, so I'll be the host tonight. She will be in the Beauty Lounge taking your questions and responding to your comments. If you would like to call into the show with a question or comment, you may do so by dialing 914-803-4399. If you would like to speak to me, the host, just press 1. And if you do not want to speak to the host or ask a question, don't press the 1 at all because it'll make me think that you're calling in with a question. So just, you know, sit back and listen to the show. And if you would like to join us online in the Beauty Lounge, you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/illusion-cosmetics. And before we introduce our guest tonight, I have two quick beauty announcements tonight, and they're both in reference to the makeup show that's going on in New York City this weekend. Actually, that is the first announcement, that the makeup show put on by the Powder Group is taking place on Sunday and Monday, May 16th and 17th in New York City. And the Powder Group is offering two free events to members of the Powder Group on May 16th and 17th. On the 16th, they're offering a class called Kit Focus, and that's with James Vincent. And on May 17th, they're offering Portfolio and Website Focus, and that's with Michael DeVellis. You must pre-register for these classes to guarantee your admission. And you may only take one free event per member, so one or the other. Tonight, we're joined by Joseph Kellner of The Real Hair Truth. And, Joseph, I'm going to welcome you to the show, and I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself to our listeners and just give them some background on who you are and how you got your start.
Well, I've been a hairdresser, makeup artist for 23 now in the hairdressing profession. I specialize in corrective hair color, makeup. I do a lot of photo work, editorial work. I like doing internet marketing, but I have a documentary coming out called in August 1st called The Real Hair Truth. And The Real Hair Truth is a documentary on the business side of the beauty industry. And we have done 17, 18 interviews for the documentary, people who are not known within the profession and a few people that are known within the profession. It's been taking me 4 years to put this documentary together. And it's turning into a really, really beautiful thing. We have 17 to 18 real-life stories on how some people just started with dirt and they built themselves up. So we have a lot of information on entrepreneurship, individuals who basically do of their own. We also talk about topics within the hairdressing industry. The film really started 4 years ago, and it was called Keys to Success. And I just wanted to interview individuals who aren't known in the profession and who basically motivate themselves and have their own salons or make their own DVDs or makeup lines, whatever. But as I went along, with this film, I started getting emails from individuals in the industry, and they had asked me to ask certain questions about certain topics when I interview people. And it started getting dark, the documentary, because we were really dealing with topics that go on within our industry, about employment, about the beauty schools, about manufacturer beauty schools, about so-called industry organizations like your NCA, your PBA, who title themselves government watchdogs for the hairdressing industry. And basically, they're nothing more than a self-titled corporation. They have nothing to do with any governmental decisions within the industry. They bestow that upon themselves. We talk about the inner circle within the hairdressing beauty industry, about the manufacturers, how corrupt they are, how you can't, let's say if you had your own book or something, you're not going to break through behindthechair.com. You're not going to get any help from the NCA, the PBA. You're not going to get any help from the industry magazines. Basically, because the manufacturers have the leash on that whole thing. So I started listening to these emails that individuals have sent me, and like I say, it got dark, and some people, I guess, wanted to bestow upon me, I guess, a title of like the Martin Luther King of hairdressing. And I wasn't going to go for that. I didn't want to set up any type of patriot meetings where we can talk about the industry, where we can change the industry. I just want to expose the industry. And I had some people talk on film with me, and then I had some people in the industry, well-known in the industry, will give me information. They don't want to get filmed, but they will give me the information that I needed to investigate certain topics for the film. And during that time, I got to learn a lot about the inner circle. I'm talking about BehindTheChair.com, the people that they have on there all the time, are always on the NCA, the PBA. Who's ever on the television shows or being advertised by the industry magazines, BehindTheChair.com, NCA, PBA. And the thing of it is you and I, they will not touch because we have no form of financial collateral. We are nothing. So they basically pick who is hairdresser for the year. Who is going to be at the hair shows. A friend of mine is in the film. His name is Eric Motikoff. He wrote a book called The Salon Business Industry Artist, and he sent out close to 100 books to the industry magazines, Modern Salon, Salon Daily, BehindTheChair.com. They will not whatsoever even give him a phone call back or give him any kind of help. So I decided that I would start up scholarships for the film, and I would only take donations from people who were not known in the industry, who were trying to get their book out there, their hair color class, their DVD, their makeup line. And I will go ahead and I take 20 scholarships, and I have Dell as a sponsor. They gave me 20 laptops. Radio Shack gave me 20 beautiful HD cameras. That way, if you want to go ahead and film your own classes or start a YouTube channel up, you'll have it. I've had beautiful books that have been written, set up for donations. Vidal Sassoon's Tony and Guy, I've gotten donations for them, education. And I wanted to make this positive because there's a lot of people out there that can't afford advanced training, and education is very important, whether you're in the hairdressing field or the makeup field. You need to keep honing your skills all the time, especially with makeup, because if you stop, you get really rusty. You can pick it up, but it's you're going to get a little rusty.
Right. And Joseph, let me ask you this really quickly, and you can continue. Like, how did this whole documentary come about? Like, what sparked it all?
I got tired of seeing the same people. This was 4 years ago. I got tired of seeing the same people at the hair shows every year, saying the same thing, getting paid the same amount of money, and getting awards. They had, like, these little parties at the end of their premier hair shows where they give one another awards, top hairdresser, top bullshit artist. And I would see people who made their own books. There's a lady over here in Tampa that makes her own makeup line. The industry magazines and publications won't even touch this young lady, and she makes a beautiful product. And I really got sick of it. I mean, after a while, I got really, really sick. And then I started seeing distributorships being bought up by L'Oreal and how they talk about there's no such thing as diversion. And in our film, we break diversion. We have two distributorships who sat down with us, order products from Paul Mitchell Manufacturer, and their daily jobs for the salespeople were to go into the salon, fill the order out, and then go to CVS, Walmart, Target, and fill their orders. So we pretty much broke diversion, but there's no such thing anymore, ma'am, of diversion. Diversion is done by the manufacturer. There's only maybe 10% of mommy and pop that do this. I got tired of seeing the little person being stepped on all the time when they were trying to move themselves up the ladder, and seeing how they reach the level of dismay and negativity about not getting any help within the industry, but they can go ahead and advertise these so-called hairdressers on these television shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really got to me. And that wasn't, I'm for the little guy.
Right. So let me ask you, how did you get some of your sponsors to join forces with you? Because you had some really good sponsors.
For the donations, I set up accounts all over the internet, especially Facebook. I got a lot of my educational donations, books, videos, educational books. And in return, when somebody donates, we put them on the credit of the movie, which was an advertising ploy to help people come in. Hey, you know, you donate to it, this is where it's going to go to. You get a tax benefit for it. We put you in the packaging of the DVD, and we put you on the credits inside the film when the film is done and over with. We also write you up on our blog, on our website, provide links from our website to their website, and advertise for them. I know I wasn't going to get any type of sponsorship from L'Oreal or Paul Mitchell or Wella, because those are mainly the people we talk about within our documentary. So I went outside, so I said, what do people need the most now? And what they... one of the things I think they should issue people in their beauty school is a laptop, because everything is done on the internet all the time, and you can really promote yourself, and you can go international within five minutes. And then I thought, well, how can you really promote yourself visually? People set up their own YouTube channel. You see them every night. Uploading a new segment on makeup, and that's where I go, because there's not too many advanced makeup schools. Down here in Orlando, we have Joe Blasco Makeup Academy, and then down in Fort Lauderdale, we have Cosmics Makeup Academies. So if you want to learn anything, really, the MAC stores, we have a huge MAC store that puts on classes every Sunday, and you can go there for $50 to learn. So I thought that, well, you know, instead of giving cell phones out, people can go ahead and have a nice HD camera. They can film themselves, and then they can start, like, a YouTube channel. That's how I thought. Yeah. Getting the major sponsors, Dell and Radio Shack, you have to be truthful. You have to be honest about what you're doing.
Right.
You have to give them every piece of paper that they're asking for. You have to make sure that you're a viable corporation. And you just ask and ask and ask and ask until somebody says yes.
Right, right. Now, going back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, the social networking, like how important is it to your business, whether you're a makeup artist, a hairstylist, like how should, I guess, how should those makeup artists and hairstylists be using social networking to help their business, in your opinion?
I just built a website for a gentleman in Kennesaw, Georgia. His name's Carlos Lissamore, and one of the benefits of getting one of the scholarship with The Real Hair Truth is we make a website for you or a blog. And it's very important to be on the Internet. But just having a website isn't going to cut it. Social networking is very, very important, especially when you're trying to sell a product. If you are on a budget of not being able to do a lot of paid advertising on the Internet, social networking is very important. The Blog Talk Radio is a very good idea. If you're starting some kind of product, if you want to talk about a product, Facebook is a good idea. Twitter is a good idea. Dig is a good idea. Also, there's numerous hairdressing social networks out there that you can go to create free profiles and to talk about the product that you have. The Internet, we have pre-sold a lot of the documentary so far, and most of the sales that we have received has been either from South Africa or from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So social networking is very important. You can meet a lot of individuals when you're on the Internet, especially on Facebook. That's where I met a lot of my donors for books, videos. And it's just very important. I think that's one thing that they should teach in beauty school, the importance of self-marketing, whether
right.
you go for booth rental or if you're a salon owner. A lot of these salon owners, I don't even think they know how to Twitter from the cell phone most of the time.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's so important that you mentioned that some of these things should be taught in the beauty schools because, of course, when you started in the business, when we started in the business, you know, it wasn't around. Twitter and all that wasn't around. When we started in the business, the Internet was barely around. So, you know, now
there was
the Internet,
nothing there.
Yeah,
the only
nothing.
Thing that you could do was put an ad in a newspaper, pass out your card, stick a flyer on a card, send some coupons in the mail. And most of the time, when there's a flyer on my card, I throw it away.
Exactly.
When you can really, the Internet is the way to go if you're going to go ahead and to promote yourself. It's very cost effective, and there's lots of ways of doing it where you don't have to do any paid advertising.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, let me ask you, going back to your film a little bit, does your film take, like your interviews, did they all take place in Orlando, or did you go from city to city doing some of these interviews?
We have interviews in California. Andre Nitschke, he has a program out there called the American Board of Certified Hair Colorist.
Mm-hmm.
We have Phil Stone, who is up in Michigan. This gentleman makes his own haircutting DVDs. He has his own internet television show once a week. He has great stuff. A lot of interviews were done in Florida. We did some in London. We did some in France. We have two notable people in the film who are well known in the hairdressing business that I thought would be a good idea to have them because a lot of people don't know nothing about hairdressing history when they're in beauty school. And
right.
these are two individuals I thought will be important. they had used to work for a gentleman named Vidal Sassoon. And these two individuals pretty much did all the haircuts for the Vidal Sassoon Corporation, even though Vidal Sassoon took the credit for it. I want to stick as close as I could to entrepreneurs in the business, like you and I, who aren't known, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully, and
right.
who are real. Their passion is real. Their passion is true, and that's why I wanted to stick with that. I asked them hundreds of questions, how they feel about the industry, how they feel about this, what should change in the industry. We talk about licensureship in the profession, beauty schools. Do they teach people? Do you get the right training when you leave makeup school? A lot of makeup schools don't give you any type of information when it goes to trying to get with the union or some makeup school. We have one makeup school down here, like the Joe Blasco. You pay the money, the $5,000 for 6 weeks. You get a great kit and everything, but once you have graduated, you're out the door. So they don't really give you that much help for job
right.
placement, which
right.
I think is bad. But the one good
yeah.
thing about the school is if you ever have problems with anything, you can always go back to the school at nighttime at the night classes and sit in, do models, and they don't charge you for that. But being in Orlando, there's a lot of work with Disney. There's a lot of work with Universal. There's a lot of photo shoots that are done from late November till beginning of April down in South Miami. A lot of Germans come over, photographers, to do the swimsuits. And used to do a lot of fashion shows, especially in Miami, too. So film industry is coming back a lot more in the Florida area. A lot of it's leaving California, but mainly film industry-wise here, a lot of B-roll is filmed for films in Florida.
Okay. Okay. So what do you hope to accomplish with this documentary?
People feel as though that in this documentary that I should offer solutions. And really all I wanted to do was inform individuals what goes on in the profession.
Right.
The goodness, the how you're brainwashed into believing this and believing that. And many nights I have to sit up because I have responsibilities of these 17 people who they tell me their stories, but the controversial part of the film falls on my shoulders. And
right.
I had one person that I interviewed, and this person talked a lot of, said a lot of good things, but later I found out that this person sold products over the internet. And I investigated it, and I found out that some of the places where he had bought the product, they had no longer sold to this person, and this person still sells it on the internet. So I had to think to myself, well, do I expose this person or I just cut him out of the film? So that's a big decision that you have to think about at nighttime, especially when this person helps you with the film too. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I want to be able just to give these 20 scholarships out and help people. I would like to make another film and direct it towards women in the profession. You don't hear a lot about women in the profession whatsoever. You always hear about gentlemen in the profession. I'm not trying to start licensure in each state should be the same. I'm not going to be able to change this because it's so corrupt. It's like David and Goliath. It's going to be one hell of a fight, and I don't think I want to be involved with that. I've already made a brick. I'm putting that brick in the wall. Now it's time for somebody else to put another brick in the wall.
Right. I think you said that people are looking to you for the solutions, and I think just being informed and having the facts and having this information is, I think that is the solution. At least that's a start.
everybody talks about things that happen within our profession, but they sweep it under the rug. They talk about it in the back room. I've had two people. One person got fired from their job because they worked for L'Oreal, and they pretty much, they were a high-level executive, and they pretty much told me how they go about selling their products through second-tier distributors, where they can't leave a paper trail back to the manufacturer. They set up these ghost distributorships to go ahead and sell to the retail centers, to the grocery stores. And one of the persons we got interviewed for got fired for it, but they ended up later on getting more employment through somebody else. So it's corrupt what goes on in this profession. This whole film is not about corruptness. It's about 17 beautiful stories of people who started from nothing and built themselves up. They aren't known in this profession, who should be known in this profession. We talk a lot about internet marketing. We talk a lot about makeup. We talk about promoting yourself. We talk about beauty schools. There's so many topics that we talk about, but we keep it real. We don't, we're not going to bake a cake and ice in it. You know, so many people will talk to you about diversion. Oh, yeah, diversion is being done. Well, if I film a film and you're looking at the film and I'm saying to you, well, you can see all these products in the grocery store. And where are they coming from? You know where they're coming from. They're coming from a manufacturer or maybe a second-tier distributor who's selling it for the manufacturer. You know that already. I didn't want to make a film like that. I wanted to go further than that. I want to show you how it was done, how they set it up, and expose these people.
Right.
These people come out to you every day and sell you products. Oh, buy this product, buy that product. They leave the guesswork out of it, and they don't. They prey upon the ignorance of other people within the profession, and it's sad. They prostitute the profession. You look like a gentleman named Frederick Vakai. He's got his own hair color. He sells it in Bloomingdale's. But if you go on BehindTheChair.com right now, you'll find him being promoted on BehindTheChair.com. Is that right? It's not right at all. And somebody like you has a makeup show, but do you think you will be on BehindTheChair.com? No, you're not.
No.
Nor would I. See the point I'm trying to make to you?
Yeah. You guys really deal with the real hair truth in this documentary.
Nobody's ever done a documentary like this before, and I just didn't want to sugarcoat it because it had to go further than what you already know.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I understand that, you know, The Real Hair Truth is a documentary, but I also know that it's a nonprofit organization. Can you talk to us a little bit about the nonprofit, Keith?
$25 to buy the film now. When you buy it now, it's $27.50 with tax. All that money goes into a bank. I fully funded this film. I paid for the interviews. I paid for the camera people. I pay for the gas, I pay for the airfare, I pay for everything. I didn't want to get any sponsorship within the industry because I didn't want to have anybody telling me, well, maybe you shouldn't say this in your film. So I believe in going to school. So I like to go to Tony and Guy or Vidal Sassoon maybe once or twice a year. And I'm talking about like a five-day class. If there's a makeup class, I like going down to Fort Lauderdale to the Cosmic School. They have great three-day classes where they teach, like, period makeup, special effect makeup. Or you can just walk in there for 3 days with a list, and they can help you figure out whatever you need to have figured out. All this money goes into a fund from the film. Once I would say, I would probably say next August, once we hit the hair shows, I would take all that money. I have 20 donations set up, 20 boxes, each has a laptop, each has cameras, they got books, they got videos from other people, and I'm going to see how much I have, and then I'm going to go ahead and buy advanced training classes at Vidal Sassoon or Cosmics or a Tonian guy. And then what we're going to do is we're going to try to find out individuals who really need this help. And we haven't got to the point where we're sending out an email saying, hey, do you know somebody in your salon? Do you know somebody that needs some advanced training, needs some help with makeup? Does somebody need a website? Does somebody need makeup brushes? Does somebody need tools? Does somebody need clothes? We'll find those individuals. We will investigate and see if it's true or not. And we'll give the money away to them, these scholarships. That's the whole point of it.
When will the documentary be available for sale?
You can pre-order the film now, but it'll be available for sale probably August 15th of this year.
Okay.
The reason being for that is right now we're going through the legal ramifications of the film to make sure that what I have in there can legally be said and legally be shown to people without causing any harm to anybody else other than the manufacturer. But that's when the film will come out. Again, it's been 4 years. To set up a nonprofit organization, it's very hard to set up a nonprofit organization. You go to a bank and say, I want to start up an account. I started a corporation up. This is the name of the corporation. I want to put funds in here. Blah, 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 blah. It's very hard to start a nonprofit up. The IRS has their hands in a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to nonprofit, is the truth of it is not really a nonprofit because it's hard to get a nonprofit. But all the profits from the film go into this account and are going to be distributed for scholarships to people. I fully funded the film. And it has been a long time, so I'm happy to see it move along now.
All right. And so give us the website where we can go and pre-order the documentary.
If you want to pre-order the documentary, it's www.therealhairtruth.com. If you want to see the trailers for the film, you could go onto YouTube and type in Joseph Kellner, and you can see all four trailers for the film. If you want to read about the film, the people who we have filmed in there, if you want to see the people who have donated, the products they have donated, if you want to see the press release, if you want to see all the legal structure of the film, you can go to www.realhairtruth.com.
Okay, and for those of you who want to go to YouTube, Joseph Kellner, and Kellner is spelled K-E-L-L-N-E-R?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. So, Joseph, let's get back to you and who you are, and let's talk about your career a little bit. Now, did you start out as a makeup artist, or did you start out doing hair?
I started out in Navy Special Forces for 4 years, and I was based in San Diego, and one day I was in my girlfriend's apartment, and I seen this shampoo commercial for Vidal Sassoon, and something clicked. And then 2 weeks later, I seen it again, and something clicked. So I ended up going from San Diego to Santa Monica to the Vidal Sassoon Academy, graduated from there, and then I headed back to Florida because that's where I went to boot camp. And I went to Fort Lauderdale. I did four apprenticeships down in Fort Lauderdale. I used to work on the Miami Vice set when Miami Vice was out in its day.
Mm-hmm.
I did work on the television show In Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 10 to 12 years into my profession, that's when I started doing makeup. But I didn't necessarily go to a makeup school until 5 years ago. And I pretty much got taught by individuals. I started off working on black skin, which
mm-hmm.
was a lot simpler than white skin. To me, it was. And
mm-hmm.
if you're a white guy, you can do black makeup. You're like a white elephant in the business. So
yeah.
I enjoyed it because I could also do black hair.
Okay.
So it was easy for me to get a job because I did hair and makeup. A lot of times when you get a job, they're looking for hair and makeup, not just makeup.
Right.
So if you can do both, you got the job because cost-wise, they just rather pay one person.
Right.
I started specializing in color. I learned it. It got boring, and then I got into corrective hair color. And that's what I do a lot of now is a lot of corrective color. I fix a lot of hair color. I have been to tons of Vidal Sassoon Academies, Paul Mitchell schools, Tony and Guy schools, makeup schools, Joe Blasco, we have another makeup school in Orlando called Toxic Image. The Australian guy has a makeup school here, and this guy is just phenomenal. He does a lot of work for Universal. He can come to the shop. It's normally $300 a day for training for this gentleman, and we pop out faces right and left. And he works with a product called Krylon. It's based out of Australia, and he uses it for a lot for his special effect work. And it's good here because when you have Halloween Horror Nights here at Universal, a lot of people can get jobs doing a lot of theatrical makeup here.
Right.
Basically, that's just how I started, apprenticing, working my way up.
And what was the name of the makeup school that you went to?
I went to Joe Blasco Makeup School.
Okay,
I went to Toxic Image Makeup School, and then I went to Cosmic Makeup School. And then I go to a lot of the MAC classes down here.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Now, like, what are some of the differences that you see in the industry now compared to when you first started?
The internet. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
I think that there is so much manufacture right now. When I started in 86, I think we had L'Oreal, Clairol, Wella Charm, Zotos, Carefree Curl. There wasn't that many. And the education was a lot better. Now the education is so manufacturer-based because they want you to buy the product all the time. The hair shows have turned into flea markets.
Right,
I see them on stage throwing products back and forth to each other, and I'm wondering, you know, if a person just gets out of school now, is this what they want to see, or maybe this is what they're being taught now? I see a lot of people let their profession pass them by, especially since these last 2 years where it's been so hard. A lot of the strip mall shops are being closed up and weeded out. I think you really need to hone up on your skills right now or you're going to get weeded out. A lot of people, they don't really treat the profession like a profession. It's a really great profession, both of them, makeup and hair. And, I mean, if you really put your mind to it, it's not that hard to learn makeup. And you can have so much fun doing makeup. The hardest thing with makeup with me was putting on the false eyelashes. I always got the glue in my eyes all the time. I gave that up for a while. And then when I put the eyeliner in, I always poked them. So when I was in the makeup school, I was surrounded by women, and you guys have been doing your makeup for God knows how long. So the instructor gives me a makeup pencil and says, go ahead and put the eyeliner on. I didn't know what the hell to do. I was scared to death. So some of the girls in the school would take me inside. Well, go ahead and do this, and I pretty much picked up more from them than I did the instructors.
Oh goodness! So what about the artists themselves, the makeup artists or the hairstylists? Do you see any differences with maybe like the work ethic of those artists now as compared to when you first started?
I think makeup artists have less ego than a hairdresser does. I have a friend where her and I, when we do weddings or we do editorial work, I'll get the job, but her and I, we split the job together. I split the money right down the middle with her. And we work together as a team. She's really sweet, very quiet. Sometimes I wish she would open her mouth, but it's just the way she is. She's very good at what she does. And a lot of times I find myself learning a lot more from her. It's good to have a partner to work with. She's younger. She's 23 years old. I'm 42 years old. So the old and the new kind of mesh together, the ideas and everything. Where she is more, I give more of the basic foundation of it. And then she'll grab that, and then she shows me more of the artistic part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Cool. Now, you started a mineral line of cosmetics. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And can you tell us the name of that?
Yeah, that's Jotovi Makeup. That's a pure mineral line. It has around 20 eyeshadows. It's a dry. The foundations, but you also can add liquid to it to go ahead and enhance it with additives to give it more of a punch. The shadows, the rouges are creams. It's a very nice line. It's not a complicated line where you can go ahead and teach the individuals in the salon. Because you show somebody makeup, you just want to, maybe 10 minutes the most, show them how to do it. A lot of times when I'm doing editorial work, I'll use like MAC or Sephora or something to do that, because that's pretty much, you know, you put it on the face, it's there. But a lot of times when you change a hair color, you have to let people know that you have to change the makeup. And a lot of times people will get a hair color done, and the stylist won't talk to them about makeup because they don't know about makeup. And so the person will go home, and let's say they look in the mirror, this just doesn't look right because they're using the same makeup all the time. And they change their hair color. They go from a blonde to a red to a brown. You got to change it, especially because of the skin tone.
Right.
It's good to be able to recommend people makeup advice, especially when you're changing hair color. And a lot of times I like to see what they're working with. So they bring this little bag in that's got a sponge that's got all kinds of stuff on it. I wouldn't touch it. And then they see the lip gloss. So you teach them a lot about sanitation, about application, and I teach them a lot about techniques.
So let me go back to something you said earlier about when you started, you were doing makeup on women of color, on black women. So what products were available for women of color when you first started, or were there any products available for women of color?
Well, the school that I was in, it was in a black neighborhood, so everybody who came in was black. The product that we used on was made for television. The product was able to be diluted down so we could put it on the black skin. Joe Blasco makeup, he has a line where you use it for television, for print work, and a lot of the products you can dilute it down. And since all we were getting was black women in the school, we really started learning how to use the eyeshadows, the real bright ones. And if you put it on a Caucasian, you would look like they were going to a theater or something, or being in some kind of play. So when I've seen bright eyeshadows and everything, and I would put it on the black skin, I would see that it was show a tone. Whereas if it was on the white skin, she would look like she would be ready for Halloween. So I learned about the different colors of the top lip and the bottom lip of the black woman, the two totally different types of tones that the upper lip has, the bottom lip has, how to change the makeup into beautiful coffee colors, cream colors. And it wasn't as hard to do as if you were working with Caucasian skin. I find Caucasian skin harder for me to work with than I do with black skin. It's very easy to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people would disagree with that, but I mean, I find it easier. I mean, I'm comfortable with any color skin, but I do find it easier to work with black skin than anything else.
It's like black hair too. When you cut black hair, it just stays there. You're seeing what you're cutting. When you're cutting Caucasian hair, you have to lift it up and then it falls.
Right.
With black hair, you're looking at it, you're seeing the design that's on there. It's very simple hair to work with.
Mhm. Mhm. So in your opinion, what are the keys to success in this business?
Don't wave your own flag. Let your customers do it. Stay on top of your education. If you're going to talk it, walk it too.
Mm-hmm.
Look presentable. When a customer sees you the first time, 90% mm-hmm. of the time is first impressions, and you'll get a second chance at it. I do believe in having a certain guideline to follow, because some customers, they'll take advantage of you. So I do believe you have to have a set of values professionally to live by and to start your business. If you don't like people in the makeup, if you don't like people, you shouldn't be doing makeup. You should be a hairdresser. I've seen some hairdressers where they do excellent work, but they don't say nothing. And they're busy all day. And then I've seen some people who do horrible work, and they're yakking all day, and they're busy. And then I see somebody who does mediocre work, and they're yakking all day, and they're not busy. So sometimes you can't really pinpoint on it. But I think it's appearance, education, listen to what the customer says and what the customer wants, and also offering them your opinion. A lot of hairdressers and makeup artists, they don't offer opinions. They'll say, well, your skin tone, you should have this with your eye colors, and you should use this type of concealer. But showing people different types of techniques, when you're showing the same technique to your customer all the time, it's going to get old. And then after a while, they feel like you're kind of like taking advantage of them, because you're not really showing them nothing. You're just used to that $150, $200 ticket every month from them.
Yeah, so I think like some artists get so caught up in the craft itself, like doing the hair or doing the makeup, but not into the education, you know, the educating the client each time they see the client.
And that's why I say when you do hair color, you have to teach the customer to change the makeup. You know, when you go from blonde to red, you got to change the makeup.
Right.
But when you come back the next time and they got the same makeup on, they say, well, this color don't quite look right with my hair. Well, it's not the color, ma'am. It's your makeup, what you're doing. You're not changing the makeup, your shadows, your blushes, man.
Right, right. Is there anything you want to let our listeners know about any of the projects you're working on, or any of your websites, if you want to give out any of your websites, information, or anything?
I think if anybody has a dream, that if they wanted to have their own book, their own makeup line, their own haircutting courses, that I think you should go ahead and follow that dream. And don't be afraid of making mistakes, because mistakes turn into successes. Embrace any type of negativity that you receive. That way you can learn from it. And do not stop following your dream, no matter what. In my profession, the manufacturers, the industry websites, the industry organizations, they all hang out together. And if I have a young lady who donated me 20 books, and it's called the Bliss Book, and there's different types of makeup applications, updos for weddings. She told me not one of the industry magazines, websites, or organizations that she sent out the book to even lifted a feather to help her or to give her a plug. None whatsoever. But they'll go ahead and advertise these individuals on these television shows or the same people at these hair shows. So if you have an idea, you got to keep following that idea. Sooner or later, you'll form a network of, and a team of people, and you guys will work together. And that's the one thing about the film that we have. We have 17, 18 people in our film, and they're all starting to network together. They're starting to make hair cutting videos, makeup videos. They're exchanging one another's books, one another's contacts. So if you feel alone out there with your product that you have, you're going to have to start networking with other people, who other entrepreneurs who are doing it on their own, and get ideas from them and kind of solidify yourself with them, because you're not going to get it from the industry, inner circle.
No, you're not. And what kind of response do you expect from your documentary once it comes out?
I've been called the Darth Vader of hairdressing already. I've been called the National Choir of hairdressing. I've had threats from L'Oreal already. I've had threats from the PBA already. I've had threats from Paul Mitchell already. And I have a lot of people who are blue collar like you and I, who know what the situation is, and they're backing up the film. And I have some people who, like I told you, they wouldn't go on film for me, but they gave me all the information and leads I needed to get the information to do a story. They're behind me, and a lot of these people are well-known in the profession, but I can't say who their names are, or I won't be able to get any more information. But mainly, I would say the blue-collar, the everyday person who does makeup at a show, at a hair salon, we've been getting a lot of good response from those people. A lot of people in the inner circle of the industry, they kind of sitting back a little bit to see what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you share with us?
Somebody has to tell the story. Somebody has to step up to the plate, because so many of us are getting stepped on all the time, and nobody's saying anything about it. They'll say it in the back room or say it in the car, but I'm sorry. I'm going to tell the story the way it is.
Right. Now, can you share with us what types of threats you're getting?
When you're dealing on this level, they're legal threats. They're looking for any form of slander in the film. They're looking for any type of misrepresentation of the companies in the film. They're looking for any type of non-factual information in the film. That's what I can tell you.
Okay. Anything else you would like to add?
Well, like I told you, I'm not one to wave my flag, but like if you have an idea, you want to go forth with it, I think your radio show is a good idea to have. Again, I have a radio show, so I would like to invite you. Hopefully we can do something in June that said you two young ladies up on there to promote your product, to promote your story. I do believe that if you're not getting any type of help within the industry, then you're going to have to go ahead and band with people to spread your word out. I think the film will talk about itself. It's a beautiful film, beautiful stories. In this film, it's not a negative film in any way, shape, or form. It's a factual film that gives you the facts, and you go ahead and make the decision. It's an open forum to what people feel about what's going on in the industry, good and bad, and things that they do in their life. That's all the film is. So a lot of people might think it's negative. It's not negative. It's factual, and it's a beautiful film.
Right. Okay. Well, Joseph, we want to thank you very much for coming on and being with us tonight and just sharing your story and sharing a little information about who you are and sharing information about this documentary and why it's so important to you. So we just want to say thank you, and we appreciate you for just taking the risk to come on and to talk about it. And I want to thank my sister Janice for being on tonight, even though, you know, she's still trying to get over this cold. And we want to thank those who have joined us on the phone lines, over the internet, and in the Beauty Lounge. And Joseph, before we leave, we'd like to ask you one last question that we normally ask all of our guests, and that is, what is beauty to you?
Beauty comes from within. That's beauty.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Repeat that for me.
Beauty comes from within.
Okay. And that's beauty to you.
Yes.
All right.
The
well,
truth
once again,
is beauty,
so,
to me.
Yes. Yes. The real truth.
Thank you for letting me be on your show. I'll get in touch with you guys in a few weeks, so hopefully I can get you on my show.
No problem. Just let us know when, and we'll be there.
All right. God bless you. Until tonight.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.